Well, we got a minister's convention coming up beginning next week, this time. And that's a serious time. You know, it's funny, in talking with a lot of folks, they know that I myself, my new year always begins with the convention. That's how I essentially look at things here in the ministry. Because every year at the minister's convention, the Lord has something for us that is what is to guide us going forth from that convention. And this year, for a variety of reasons, but partly because it's also going to be a working convention in which we're going to be working on some projects out here that we have for the ranch. I've also given folks a homework assignment this year, which has been to go through and read 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, and also to listen to a message that Brother Davey preached back in Barrie, Vermont in 1999 on 1 Timothy. And I've been listening to those messages. I don't know about others, but I've been listening to those messages, and it's amazing to me how I remember listening to the first day. I was like, exactly where he was coming from and that which the Lord had for us 17 years ago is exactly where we are and what we need to hear today. In many ways, that's sad and tragic, you might say. On the other hand, it's extraordinarily hopeful, because figure 17 years have passed. 17 years, Charlie, you were there, I was there. Of the people who are with us right now, I think we're the only two who were there for that service. Ricky will be coming, he was there. Carrie will be coming, and she was there. Jeannie will be coming, and she was there. And to think of the extraordinary grace and long-suffering that God has had for us through those 17 years. And as I listen to that message and I go back through, it's provoking. I mean, there are things that come up in it. I'm listening, I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know what? I mean, in some ways, I was closer to having that right 17 years ago than I am today. Not a great testimony. On the other hand, the last 17 years, I mean, the Lord has taught me so many different things and reformed me over those 17 years, things that I had no idea about back then. So don't hear me wrong. On the one hand, I'm getting pricked. On the other hand, I can tell you that the Lord hasn't been standing still in my life during those 17 years. He's been teaching me a tremendous number of things. And so, first of all, for you, those of you who have not yet gone through those things, go through them. I mean, do whatever you've got to do to get through those things, because you will be blessed if you will hear. If you will yield. One of the songs you guys sang earlier today was really a lot about yielding to his word, which is a choice that we make. It's a choice you make. You hear, you read what the word says, you hear what one of his authorities says, you know, any of these different things. Do you yield to it? Do you continue to cleave to that which you have believed before? Or walked in before? And it was funny, I was listening to Bob a little bit, and he's talking about, you know, I don't do this and the like. And one of the things that people don't realize, I think, is a lot of reason why a lot of things stay the same is because you're waiting till you feel like doing something different. You're waiting till you feel like doing something different. Well, I'll tell you what, it's never going to change then, because you're never going to feel differently about doing it. You have to choose that you're going to do something about it. once you choose the Lord in His grace, in His love, in His mercy, in His power, will show up. But one of the hardest parts about choosing to do that, and this is one of the messages we'll probably get into during this year's Minister's Convention, is you first have to acknowledge you're the one in the wrong. You have to acknowledge you're the one in the wrong. Doesn't matter whether anybody else is right or wrong. That's completely irrelevant. You have to get to the place where you acknowledge between yourself and the Lord that you are the one in the wrong between you and Him. When you come to the place where you can acknowledge that you are the one in the wrong between you and Him, now, at least for you, a lot of things are going to change. And if they change for you, you know what happens? They give hope to others. See, Bob was talking about that perfect and acceptable will of God, and you're presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. And like, well, first of all, you can't do it perfectly, so just get over yourself. If you could do it perfectly, He would not have had to die for you. If you could do it perfectly, 17 years later, He wouldn't still be extending grace unto us, right, Charlie? Because if we could do it perfectly, we would be completely and totally 100% without any excuse. Because we should have been doing it perfectly. But see, the perfect will of God is not actually about you doing everything perfectly. See, when you get to the place where you realize, uh-oh, I'm the one who's wrong and I have done wrong, and you go to the Lord and ask forgiveness for that, and He in His grace pours it down, His love upon you once again, His power upon you once again, and transforms you, you're proving the perfect and acceptable will of God. So that the person next to you, who is still standing in a place where they feel like it's other people are the ones who've got the issues, and other people are the ones who got this, or somehow or other, I'm not being treated the way I ought to be treated, or somehow or other, I've done my part, but God hasn't done His, or others haven't, or whatever the nonsense is that people are believing, when they see you get free, when they see you operating in the grace and the love and the power of God, and emanating or showing forth that joy that comes from that, it reminds them that they can have it too. They can have it too. It's actually here for all of us. There's not a one of us here who cannot have the fullness of that joy that passeth all understanding operating in our life. There's not a one of us who can't. There's not a one of us who can't have that operating in our life continuously. It's simply a measure of how much we yield to and choose to love Him rather than ourselves. And I say that rather than ourselves because one of the saddest things, and it's something you see as a minister all the time, you see it in people all the time, and that is people want a thing and they don't have the thing, but they don't realize they're going about getting the thing all in the wrong way. Because see, what happens is out here in the world, what happens is the way people operate is if I don't take what I want, I'm never going to get it. Right? So they're all out here for yourself. Me first, me first, me first. We were actually talking with a farmer yesterday when we were out at his place, which was talking about this. He was a Mexican who's lived here in this country since at least like 1951, if not before. He was an older man. And he was talking about how they do things down in Mexico. And he was talking about how, you know, if somebody steps out and things start going well for them, everybody else wants to pull them down. They don't want to join with them in any way. They want to pull them down. Well, you know what? I mean, it's not only in Mexico that happens, is it? I mean, we don't have to go off this ranch to see that kind of thing happen periodically amongst ourselves, right? Don't have to go outside this fellowship to see it. Now, look, don't hear me wrong. I don't mean to say, and I hope people out there who don't know us, who might be listening to this, don't get the wrong idea. I am extraordinarily grateful for my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I'm grateful for the grace that my brothers and sisters in the Lord have actually had towards me. And I have seen in this fellowship the love of God, and I've seen it operating and moving in and amongst this fellowship. But when I compare this fellowship to Christ, that's a different story. You follow what I'm saying? That's a very, very, very different story. And this minister's convention that we're coming up to is about changing that, folks. It's about changing that. Because if we want to, as a body, not just a couple people, but as a body, see anyone in this body operating in the love and power of God to pray for the sick and the sick are healed, to cast out devils and the devils are cast out, to see the shackles come off where the people leap up in praise and thanksgiving to God. Well, that's what I want to see from any member of this fellowship. I remember back in years ago, shortly after that 1999 meeting in Barrie, I actually went to Cornish Flat, New Hampshire, to Scott and Gail Stevens' house. They were, at the time we started this, they were still, I think actually when we started the meetings down there, they had moved into their home. They'd been living in a trailer. I think they had just moved into their home. It was before the whole Y2K craze was going down, and Scott thought I was ridiculous for not being more concerned about it. And we were down there, and I started ministering down there, and they received, and Scott received the Lord, and people were receiving in the community, and this fellowship, it was growing. We used to have these meetings. They would start at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, and they'd end at like 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, and then we'd wake up, and people would come to breakfast, and we'd continue. And the Lord was really moving extraordinarily. And I remember there was a guy, there were a number of people who came, and then they got offended at a message I shared one day, which may not have been the right message, I don't know, but the fact of the matter is what they were offended at was the gospel, because all I was talking about was the gospel and speaking about how I wasn't good, but God was. And a lot of people who thought I was something all of a sudden thought, well, gosh, if he did that, I can't stick around here and be around him. I mean, oh my God, you know. Left. But it was funny. One of the guys who was there, he was a Mormon. And he, Scott and Gail had, we'd preached about healing the sick and things like that. He had cancer. Now, Scott and Gail were probably only Christians at this moment. And I know Gail traces her Christian heritage a lot longer, but, you know, if she wants to be honest with herself in the sense of, she wasn't a very good Christian back in those days. But she had changed. She had been changed by the renewing of her mind because of the washing of regeneration of the Word of God, which came unto her and unto Scott. And this man came to them just on some odd day of the week. I don't know what day of the week it was, but he came to them for prayer. He was going into the doctor, I think, the next day. I may be remembering the story a little bit incorrect, for like his pre-op for the cancer they were going to operate on and remove, or whatever it was. And so he came to them for prayer. Didn't go to his Mormon church. He came to them for prayer in faith, and they prayed for him, and he was delivered of that cancer. Scott at that time hadn't even been a Christian for, I don't know, probably 7 months at that point in his walk. See, when you yield to the Word of God, you're yielding to the love of God and inviting that love of God into your life to transform you and to move through you to minister unto others. And see, the Church of Philadelphia that John the Revelator speaks of in Revelation chapter 3, the word Philadelphia means the church of brotherly love. If you can't love one another, what did we just sing? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If you cannot love one another, then you kid yourself to think you love God. And if you don't love God, you kid yourself to think you're going to go to heaven. So that's why he gives you people like me, and gives you people like Micah, and gives you people like Bob and Corey and Ann and Carter and all the rest of us, and Gail and Scott. Why? He gives us one another so we can learn to practice. Practice loving. Practice putting one another before ourselves. Imagine that. And as we do that, you know what happens? As you love one another, you become part of God's ministry to one another. And the problems that people have and the issues, whether they be medical issues, demonic issues, attitudinal issues, or whatever kind of issues they got, you know what happens? Those issues start getting gone. And as those issues start getting gone, you know what you get to be a part of? Well, now you get to minister unto others. God can bring others in because you know what? He's got a place where he can bring others in where the people he's bringing in, their issues are going to be getting gone because they're hanging out with you. And you're not just commiserating over your issue and their issue. You're helping one another get free of those issues. And you're going to see this fellowship grow, and you're going to see the power of God move in extraordinary manners that you never believed were possible to see happening through you in ministering unto others. And children, my little four little children here, Abigail, look at me. Abigail. That means you too. That means a little six-year-old girl can minister unto an old man. And the old man can get free. Because it's not Abigail doing it. It's because it's the Lord Jesus Christ doing it through you. So look, let's turn our eyes back on the Lord. Let's fix our eyes on him. And let's let him change us, that we can love and be a part of his changing one another and those we don't even know yet. Amen.